All right, guys. So a couple of weeks ago, I got into a lot of trouble because, well, I'm always kind of in trouble. But this time, the reason I was in trouble was because I said that I have left the Church of Science. What did I mean by that? What do you mean you don't trust the science or trust the experts? And people were coming undone and referring to me as a flat earther. And the reality is a lot of things have happened over the last few years that have clarified my perspectives. And my perspective today is that science has very much become a faith. You have a bunch of people who have sort of ordained themselves ministers and priests, and they tell you not to think at all and to simply follow their instructions. And there's no greater example of that and how many times that they have been wrong and how they are able to inspire mass hysteria than COVID. I always say, let's not forget what happened during COVID. It should really wake you up. In many ways, science has also become a psychology. And so I'm very pleased to introduce you to my next guest. He has written a book entitled The Diary of a Psychosis, How Public Health Disgraced Itself During the COVID Mania. And also another book, which just seems really on par with me. It's entitled The Politically Incorrect Guide to American History. Everything, well, almost everything you know about American history is wrong. It's definitely something we've been hitting at a lot on this show. Tom Woods, welcome to Candace.
Thank you, Candace.
It's good to have you here.
Thank you.
I mean, with titles like these, you can't be adored by the media.
No, I'm not.
You're not too adored by the media.
I'm not looking to be.
So the most recent one you published is this one, The Diary of a Psychosis. Tell me what this book is about and what led you to wanting to publish it.
Well, you and I both lived through what happened in 2020. And as it was happening, I wanted to know, are there any other ways of looking at this other than extreme panic? I was looking for other voices, and they were hard to find, but eventually I did find them because I didn't want to just give up my life for nothing. I wanted to be told that there was we were going to accomplish something by doing this. I didn't want to just throw my life away for nothing. And yet I was astonished at how many people who were willing to do that who wouldn't even bother to look up the numbers. Like, for example, after a few months of this, are we seeing any better results in places that are more psychotic than others? No one even seemed interested. It was bizarre. So I started writing. I have an email newsletter that a lot of people subscribe to. I started writing about this every day, and I would send out charts, and I'd say, let's compare this place, and it doesn't make any sense. And you find that the top 25 craziest lockdown states, you plot them against the bottom 25, the most lenient states, the lines are identical, identical. So are we doing all this for nothing? I wanted to answer that question. Are we doing all this for nothing? And I thought, surely the world will welcome research like this. It turns out, no. I was so astonished. And even though I had maybe a lower estimate of mankind than a lot of people do, it went way low after this. To see how many people were forming their opinions on the basis of tribal allegiance. You know, my favorite actors are all telling me to stay home and stay safe, so I guess I have to do it. I don't know what the source of it is, but there is definitely a drive to conform. And it's like that feeling you had in high school that a lot of the popular kids had, where I would die 1,000 deaths before say anything that would get me out of the popular group. I never had to worry about that. I was the biggest nerd in high school. I was never tempted that way. I was never going to be in the popular group. So I've always kind of been the guy who wants to get the whole story. And so the reason it's called Diary of a Psychosis is that I was writing about this day by day, and I was observing all the little things. We all know all the big things, but I remember all the little bits of craziness that were going on day by day. And I had people writing to me saying, you are keeping me from winding up in a rubber room, because I thought I was the only one. All my friends, they don't want to get together. They want to sit 100 yards apart. I don't know what's going on here. And so I just started writing what I was finding. And it turns out that story is like the exact opposite of what we're getting on TV, like the exact opposite.
Well, it's interesting because I was one of these people that was blessed. I was anti-vax before COVID took place, and I had done all of my research, and I had understood what Big Pharma was because I was, and I do say blessed, by being injured by a vaccine when I was 20 years old. The Gardasil vaccine, a lot of women were injured by that vaccine.
Yeah.
And it was one of these things where I had this mini seizure on the doctor's floor, and then he told me to suspend the series because I think it's about 3 shots you have to get. And afterwards, I just remember thinking, why did I get this shot? I know nothing about this shot. I'm just listening to this guy. When I did my research, I was stunned at how they had manipulated the data, how they had lied about the risk, how they just sort of used this campaign, this fear campaign, to say to women, like, you're going to get, this will stop you from getting cancer, cervical cancer or ovarian cancer. I can't remember which one it is. And when I actually clawed back all that research and did the numbers, I realized, how could they do this? This is so evil. How could they lie like this? And so that kind of began my journey. And I began looking into each and every single vaccine and made a decision for myself not to vaccinate my children. I'm not as an anti-vaxxer, it's totally fine. But I'm grateful for it, because I went into COVID because of that, eyes wide open. Like, there was no way after you have a mini seizure and in a doctor's form when you're 20 years old that you are ever going to allow a fear campaign to manipulate you into putting something into your body. But the reality is that the entire world now is run by fear campaigns. And this gets even into, which I love, because we were just talking about this off camera, you know, you're talking about Ron Paul, who actually endorsed this book, which is about the best endorsement you could have. For me, it would be Thomas Massey or Ron Paul. And he endorsed this book. But when you look through the lens even of American history, how they are able to modify human behavior, get so many people to acquiesce to government incentives, to give up their freedoms, it's always fear as the ingredient to get us to accept whatever, even if it's insane.
And it's usually, I mean, I also wrote a book about the 2008 financial crisis. And when that broke out, it was, we don't have time to talk to you about this. We just have to shovel all this money to all these institutions so all these bigwigs can get their bonuses. And I'm sorry, we don't have time to talk about it. And same thing with COVID. So we just don't have time. You know, we'd love to hear all your crazy opinions, but we just don't have time. The experts need to run things and you need to shut up. So it is, it's a pattern. And I think part of the reason people are inclined to just go along, I think partly is that I think the education system encourages following the leader and repeating on the test what you were told in the classroom. So that's part of it. But also what happens in American history is we have some big crisis like the Great Depression or like COVID or whatever else. And there's an official, like, regime approved version of what happened. And then there's everybody else trying to say, wait a minute, there's another way of thinking about this. The official regime approved version winds up in the history textbooks every single time. So the Great Depression was caused by underconsumption or greed, or, like, greed caused the Great Depression. Greed caused that level of fall in production because of greed. What are you talking about? Greed exists. Greed's around all the time. How's that your explanation? But that goes in the textbooks. So this is why it's 4 years after COVID, I guess 4.5 now. There's a reason we still need to keep talking about it, because if we don't, then we're going to get another one of these conventional wisdom stories that just ossifies into the permanent version, which is wonderful, selfless public servants like Anthony Fauci tried their best to make us healthy, but we stupid heads who hate science refuse to go along. That is going to be in that textbook, absolute 100% guarantee. So this is why when people say, you know, you just have to move on, time to move on. You know, I don't think Thomas Jefferson ever said, if the government really screws you, you should probably just move on. I think if we just move on, then this takes its place alongside the Great Depression, the New Deal, 9/11, the 2008 crisis, COVID, Ukraine, as all having basically cartoon versions winding up in the history books.
It's worse than cartoons. I mean, literally, I just love this. Everything, well, almost everything you know about American history is wrong. I fell down this rabbit hole, so to speak, over the last couple of years. And it's so jarring and it's so shocking. And it takes such a tremendous amount of humility to admit that you know nothing. And I have such a thirst for knowledge now. And I do recognize, and there were always the signs there, that what we've actually implemented here in America is not unlike, it's actually an exact replica of, like, Soviet education. It's like Stalin youth, essentially. And I learned about that because I was reading a Thomas Sowell book, Inside the American Education System.
Oh, I read that one.
Great book. Yeah. And he actually talks about how they're able to, even when there's that one child that stands up, and he was speaking about sex education in particular, and how they start by trying to isolate the child and making them think that their parents are backwards and their parents don't know anything. And, like, you're part of this new generation and this thing and everybody's having sex. And he says in that book, and the reality was before the 70s, before it was, I believe, Jimmy Carter who signed off on the Department of Education.
Yeah.
Before the implementation of the Department of Education, the majority of high schoolers were graduating with their virginity intact. And But then they started this sort of Planned Parenthood funded effort in the classroom to convince children otherwise. And they isolate that child. And they, if there's that one kid that stands up and says like, no, like my mom says I should keep my virginity. They allow the entire class to participate. And he cites examples to participate in making this child feel humiliated. So this goes back to exactly what we're talking about with COVID, where people don't want to feel isolated. They don't want to feel humiliated. And they also don't want to admit that it's plausible that they're wrong. So they just do the thing. They just agree with the thing. And I mean, that to me is just, it's so sad that people don't have the courage to stand by what is so, to me, obviously and morally wrong. You're masking children. You know what I mean? Like, take a stance for something. And they don't.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, the stuff about the schools, that is like institutionalized bullying. And yet you walk into a school today and they'll have a poster on the wall that says we're against bullying. And their anti-bullying policy consists of that poster. That's about it. But then in terms of what you're talking about here, I should say something about I absolutely agree with you about science becoming a religion and it's not my religion and I'm standing up against it. That doesn't mean I don't believe in the scientific method. It doesn't mean I don't accept scientific conclusions, but it does mean we have a perverse deformation of actual science. And we're like last year we had more retracted papers in medicine than at any time ever. And you would think as time goes on, wouldn't you think we would get better and better and we'd have more knowledge and there'd be fewer retracted papers? Like something's going wrong. But also scientism, which is what we're opposed to, more or less seems to say that the only stuff I'm going to believe is information that comes through a test tube. Then I'll believe it. But so much of what these people believe can't possibly come out of a test tube. Like these people say, I believe in human equality. Well, there is nothing that's going to come directly from observation or a test tube that's going to support that because people are tall or short or smart or dumb or talented or untalented. All we have are differences. But we believe in equality. Why? Because that's a philosophical presupposition. That's a philosophical idea that's very defensible. That people should be treated equally before the law. That's very, very defensible, but that doesn't come out of a test tube. There are a lot of things you believe in deeply that do not come out of a test tube. And then also, if you thought that the extreme measures they took during COVID were over the top and wrong, they would say, well, the scientists are telling us we need to do it. Now, number one, not all the scientists were saying that. But number two, there's no class Anthony Fauci took in school that told him, if something like COVID is circulating, here's how you balance out the protecting people's health consideration versus destroying society through lockdowns. Here's how you balance that out. He never took a class on that. He's just a hack like you and me when it comes to stuff like this. What does he know about that? But because he's a scientist and because everyone is infected with scientism, they attribute to him these supernatural abilities that he most certainly does not possess.
I would like you to speak more at length about scientism because I recently read C.S. Lewis's The Abolition of Man, and I think it's a really important point to hit upon in case people are not familiar what you are differentiating here between scientism and science.
Well, so when we say science, especially since, let's say, the so-called scientific revolution, but we also had science. I mean, Roger Bacon, there were people in the High Middle Ages who were practicing science. And by the way, that's a whole other story. Is the normal portrayal of the progress of Western history is that we had Greece and Rome, then nothing.
No, the lie of the Dark Ages. Right. Yeah, it's nonsense.
Nothing happened. Yeah. And then, you know, and then the railroads or something. You know, like what? Yeah. So that's another matter. I wrote a book on that. But it's one thing when we recognize that science can answer some questions. We gather data, we form hypotheses, we test the hypotheses, and we keep an open mind. Like, we don't say, you're going to get funded and your paper published if it seems to advance the current consensus. That is a deformation of science, and that is exactly what we've had. And so you say, well, this guy can't even get his paper published. He must not be any good. That's not why. It's that they've decided that this is the truth. And so Dr. Marty McCary has a brand new book out called Blind Spots, in which he just runs through all these areas where the consensus was so wrong, but good luck trying to fight against it. Now, what is that? That is a religion in the worst possible sense of the word. I mean, the Catholic religion has St. Thomas Aquinas in it. And he asks about 2,000 questions in his Summa Theologiae. The medieval universities were based around asking questions and debating them. Now, you couldn't graduate unless you had held a disputation on some disputed topic. Whereas today, when we like to congratulate ourselves at how much more open-minded we are than they used to be, it's just the opposite. They come after you. I mean, one quick little example. You notice that in America, we have so many people with peanut allergies. And it seems to be like just an American thing. Like, why don't they have peanut allergies in Zimbabwe? You know, like, why do we have them here? And it's the consensus was we keep kids from having peanuts or peanut products for the first few years of their lives to prevent them from getting peanut allergies. It turns out that causes the peanut allergies. But yet, American researchers were the ones telling various groups trying to end hunger, don't use peanuts, even though they're easy to transport, they're protein rich, they don't have to be refrigerated. They're very easy to use for this purpose. But American researchers say, no, because you're going to encourage peanut allergies. The opposite encourages peanut allergies. And this is we have all these faulty cases of consensus, and no one dares say anything because they don't want to be on the outs. Mm-hmm. I want to be one of the cool people.
Now, what we are covering is obviously insane here. This election season has been the most insane. We really don't know what is going to happen in November. But there is one thing that I know. I'm definitely still buying gold and silver. The United States has $35 trillion in debt. There is no better time to protect your money and savings while you still can. So go to CandiceLikesGold.com. You'll learn about the top-rated precious metals company, GoldCo, and how they can help you. They are a great company that is top-rated with over 6,000 five-star reviews and a whole bunch of awards. Not only do they support my show, but my listeners can get up to a 10% instant match in bonus silver on qualified orders. So if you're worried about your money losing value or you just want to buy some precious metals that you can physically hold on to, GoldCo can help. Visit CandiceLikesGold.com. Again, very easy, CandiceLikesGold.com.
And some of it is really just common sense. You know, like when I embarked on creating a series, I actually have an entire series called A Shot in the Dark where I speak about vaccines to parents. And I just go through the history that they are not allowed access to. I mean, it's crazy how much money I had to spend to access these original studies. Like, you have to get all these shots for your kids, but we can't let you read the studies unless you pay us $150 to see where the genesis of this.
Yeah.
It's nuts. And the more that I got into it and I realized they've been controlling the diagnostic conditions, they have been manipulating numbers. And when I just show parents these charts, like, there is this idea talking about how powerful of a tool fear is. And my favorite one is tetanus. Parents know nothing. My husband and I got together. I'm like, we're not vaccinating our kids. And he's like, what? Well, we have to do tetanus, of course. Polio and tetanus are the ones that there's like this ingrained fear.
Yeah.
And so I said to my husband, I say to people all the time, how many people do you think during its peak incidence? These, by the way, are statistics from the AMA, the American Medical Association. I'm not finding this stuff on like a Reddit feed. I only use approved government sources. And I say, how many people do you think during its peak incidence in America, before the introduction of the vaccine, were getting tetanus, like just were being diagnosed with tetanus? And everyone, I'll tell them, I'm like, the population was around, 129 million in America at the time. And everyone will say 100,000, maybe 300,000. The answer is 550. Right. So it's little things like this that people just don't know.
No.
Right. They just know tetanus, that your kids are getting 17 shots. I'm like, 550 people in total got tetanus before they introduced the vaccine. And so it's so important for people to just have access to this information so that they can not. Maybe you still decide that you want your child to get the tetanus vaccine. I don't care. I don't ever push upon a parent what they should do. But I want you to no longer be people that are conditioned by fear and a lack of knowledge. And going back to what you were saying about this, which my thesis now is that we're actually in the Dark Ages. I think that the Dark Ages were an age of remarkable enlightenment. And then they called the Enlightenment actually when they began, in my view, a bunch of Freemasons deciding to like darken mankind. And now people don't have access to information and they're just sort of told what to do. And I think people are remarkably dumber than they were. That's my current operating thesis on what's happening right now.
But yet, if you had asked people back then, they wouldn't have bragged that they were smart. Today, they brag that they're smart. You know, there was a study done, I think it was in that, Thomas Sowell talks about it in that education book, where they surveyed Korean students and American students, and they asked, do you think you're good at math? Now, American students are way worse, but they think they're good. The Korean students are way better, and they think they're not so good.
Oh, I wish we had the exact statistic, because it's a stunning statistic.
Yeah, it is.
We were like 23 percentile, and they're like 84%, and it was like incredible. They're like the best in the world.
Right.
And like 23% of them were like, maybe we're kind of good.
Like those tetanus numbers.
Americans were like, we're amazing at math.
I know. They got the we're number one, you know, the foam finger in the air. So Gloria Steinem is, the feminist leader. She is of the opinion that women are being held to an unreasonable standard of beauty, and that was causing a lot of people to come down with anorexia, and to present with anorexia. And so she was saying that 150,000 women a year were dying from this. And it turns out the real number was 100. Now, I don't mean 100,000. I mean 100. But you hear 150,000, you think, wow, we have to take action. And that is a quote-unquote progressive pattern. They make up a number, like Mitch Snyder. Now, homelessness does seem to be a pretty big problem these days in the cities. But in the 80s, when everybody said there were 3 million homeless, that didn't come from somebody walking around with a clipboard and keeping an eye on things. That was Mitch Snyder, homeless advocate, who said, I had to get people's attention. So he made up the 3 million. So this just happens over and over and over again. And then in terms of the vaccine, so now I'll just tell you, I'm over 50 at this point. And when you're a man and you're 50, one of the things they tell you when you go see the doctor is, hey, you are eligible now for the shingles vaccine. You should consider getting the shingles vaccine. Now, I'm going to be honest enough with you, Candace, to say that if this had been 5 years ago, I would have rolled up my sleeve and said, yeah, go ahead. I mean, like, whatever. But now I feel like I can't trust anything these SOBs tell me. So I'm listening to the guy say to me, it's 87% effective against shingles. And I thought, now, Dave Smith told this story last time he was on Joe Rogan. He told my shingles vaccine story. I'm sitting there thinking, when you say to me that it's 87% effective, is this like the COVID vaccine being 100% effective? It's because they literally said it's 100% effective. And when you go back and look at it, you think this can't be. But when you go back and look at it, it's that they had a vaccine group and a control group. And the vaccine group had like one infection and the control had two. And since two is 100% more than one, the COVID vaccine is 100% effective. Now, we all knew that 100% effective, the average person will hear that and think that means nothing can happen to me. It's 100% effective. They must have known that's how people would interpret that. So I'm thinking, geez, the shingles vaccine sounds pretty terrible compared to 100% that I might have had. So now I haven't gotten it. It's not because I want to get shingles. It's that now I feel like I've been awakened to something. I mean, I wrote the Politically Incorrect Guide to American History. I'm very skeptical of official narratives. But when it came to health, again, I'll be honest with you, I used to think that the people in our ranks who were complaining about their doctor or the medical system, I would say, come on. I mean, look at the life expectancy figures going up, which is no longer true. What are you cranks complaining about? And I'm thinking, oh, my gosh, what an idiot.
Oh, it's shocking. The more you get into it. And like I said, I agree that it's crazy to have your base assumption be that I'm being lied to by the entire medical establishment. Like I said, I was blessed by being injured. Right. That is what sent me down that rabbit hole and trying to understand what had happened to me and why I had just subjected myself to this. And then I was shocked and I kept looking and it took me years. And so, you know, God gives you certain things to go through for a reason. And so I was just, as soon as COVID happened, I was like, nope, this is what they do. They've done this forever with vaccines. They always need to have an emergency. And then they get everybody to roll up their sleeves. And the next thing you know, it's on the list and every kid's got to get it to go to university and to get into kindergarten nowadays. And that should really be your first indication that something's wrong, that they're, you know, having to force it upon children. Like, you know, if it was really life-saving, would you have to force it? People would be lining up in the streets for it. It's like, if you're like, please save my life. You're like, you know, if there was no water, you wouldn't have to say, in order, you know, for you to go to school, you're going to have to drink water. We would be like, please give us the water. We want to live. And so there are so many common sense aspects to it. But I did have to think about this because I had such a reverence instilled in me for doctors and wanting to believe in the Hippocratic Oath, wanting to believe that they have our best interests at heart. And I realized all of these people are just human. And so now I just need to know who everyone was in high school, right?
Yeah.
Would this person have stood up if a teacher said to do something crazy and said, no, that sounds crazy? The reality is most people just go along and do what they have to do and keep their heads down. And especially doctors, they're in school for a very long time. And my friend who is a doctor told me, he said, when we learn about vaccines, we're not learning about the history. It's this is what you give this person at 6 months. This is what you give. He's like, and that's why doctors get so offended when you question them, because they realize their own ignorance when you're like, but wait a minute. Actually, how many people were dying of tetanus in 1947? They don't want to go down that route because they're not trying to harm you, but And they're not bad people. They're just human. And I think it's the best way to look at it.
That's
human.
The thing is that this is another thing that scientism has fed into, is that we attribute to these people superhuman characteristics. They have the same moral foibles that you and I have, and they're subject to the same kinds of influences that you and I might be. So unfortunately, I know that the media discourages you from, quote, doing your own research, but in this day and age, finding somebody who really is knowledgeable about medicine is a rare thing and very important. And now on the vaccine question, you notice that talking about children, if it really were something those kids needed, L.A. schools would have imposed it. New York schools would have imposed it. Even the left liberal parents who, you know, on the surface, they're going to do whatever the health authorities recommend, they knew the kids don't need this, and they knew it was bad. So the polls were all showing like not even a quarter of the parents wanted the kids getting it. So they figured that out, so they could not impose that. And so I do think it's important because it can be so discouraging. You feel like, I'm up against every institution in America. I need some kind of white pill here. And I would just remind everybody that they wanted those vaccine passports everywhere and permanently, and they didn't get that. And they didn't get it because the minority of us just wouldn't go along. And if you're a restaurant, you're already operating on razor-thin margins. If you cut 30% of your clientele out, forget it. Forget it. So those things didn't go anywhere. But isn't it interesting, you know, that Dr. Jay Varma from New York, who was just exposed for having had, let's say, immoral parties during COVID, at the same time he was sitting next to the New York mayor every weekday giving his briefing, he was out doing unbelievable things. He admitted on camera, on a hidden camera, that what we do is we don't literally drag you into the doctor's office, grab your arm, and stick the needle in. We just make your life really difficult if you don't. And he actually, so up to that point, I found in Diary of Psychosis, I quote some Canadian officials who came out and said that. In America, they kept that part quiet. They were saying, no, the vaccine mandate is to keep you all safe, you know, because you don't want to go to a restaurant, get COVID. But he admitted that's not the reason. That's not there. And in fact, we can see, if you look at L.A. County versus Orange County, Orange County did not have a vax mandate. L.A. County did. You plot their numbers against each other. L.A. County actually did slightly worse. So there's no, I mean, it didn't, they all knew that wasn't going to do anything. It was just to make you so miserable that you would finally say, all right, you got me, I'll do it.
Right. Now, that's sinister. Job. Yeah, you'll lose your job.
And you'll lose your job.
So that was something that is really interesting for me, because I felt so freed by learning the true dark history of psychology. It's really freed me in so many ways, because now I recognize what they're doing. And when I say they, I'm also referring to the mainstream media, which is a part of this apparatus, right? They're taking payments. We saw this during the time of COVID. Like, they're getting paid by Big Pharma. They have their talking points, and their element is to torture people for not complying. Right. So it's like, oh, do you want to be anti-vax? Because if you're a public figure, and I really look back at the people who were saying this years ago, like Jenny McCarthy and the stuff that was said about her. I mean, she was so brave in the retrospect when she was talking about her son, who she said a vaccine gave him autism, and the media just came down on her. Right. So it's like, we're not saying you don't have to get the vaccines, but you're going to have 80,000 articles written about you, calling you a dangerous anti-vaxxer. You're never going to get booked again for another show. You're going to lose your acting career. That is an element of this dark psychology, which is essentially like, get into formation or we are going to destroy your credibility and make it difficult for you to live. And the only way that I think you can have any guard against that is to understand it. Understand that that is what they are there to do, is to see a person that's telling the truth, just like the kid in the classroom, isolate that person and have everyone around them say, oh, you're really going to keep saying that? Are you really going to keep saying that people shouldn't get this COVID vaccine, Candace? Are you really going to keep saying that you don't believe the World War II narrative, Tom Woods? Experts agree. You're a kook. You know, all of these, it gets down to really this elementary name calling and poking people for not wanting to fit in with the in crowd. And the in crowd is not cool. I just want everybody to know that. Like, these people are absolute losers, and that's why I don't listen to them.
Why would you want to hang out? Like, I would say to people, you could hang out with Dr. Jay Varma and all these boring people, or you could hang out with us. Like, you know what's going to be vastly better? But the desire to conform has been so utterly destructive, not just in COVID, but in so many other areas of history. And as I say, it's been so discouraging for me to see this, because I kind of thought, well, once we get the internet, people will understand the world, you know, and I guess not. But before we started recording, I mentioned I can't remember if it was with you or one of your associates, but Dr. Anders Tegnell was the state epidemiologist in Sweden, and everybody piled on him. And this was a guy who was very much an outlier because he very ostentatiously did not go along with the lockdown regime. And almost nobody in Sweden wore masks. When I finally took a trip to Sweden during all this, the only people wearing masks were American tourists. I'm not kidding. They just weren't. It didn't make any difference and nobody cared. But he said, it's going to take 3 years for me to be vindicated. 3 years of nothing but abuse and slander and unbelievable attacks. Like, you can't believe the entire medical establishment around the world going after him. And I think about a weakling like Anthony Fauci, you know, who can't take some criticism very well. Anthony Fauci needs to be lauded and awarded and praised and people bowing before him. That's what he needs.
The signs in the yard. Yeah. Thank you, Dr. Fauci. Yeah.
The bobblehead. I mean, come on. Bobblehead.
It was so bad.
You know? And could you imagine him surviving for 3 days, much less 3 weeks, with the entire establishment coming down on him? And then it turns out the guy was vindicated because we have the numbers for all the countries of Europe and excess deaths during the period 2020 to 2023. And guess which country did the best in terms of good health? It was Sweden. Mm-hmm. So that means that all the things they said to us were false. That means, like, I live in Florida, thank God. Because it meant that I was able to avoid, like, my kids were able to live normal lives during this time. But you compare it with California, you have to adjust for age because California is one of the youngest states. And we all know everybody goes to retire in Florida. So you have to adjust for that. But it turns out that California had a worse excess death number than Florida did. California was worse. So even if you say, well, Florida suppressed its COVID numbers, which it didn't, but you know what? Even if I concede that to you, that has nothing to do with excess deaths overall. And overall, Florida did better than California. Now, that's impossible. According to what they told us, that's impossible. California locked down so much that when they finally reopened Disneyland, it was the last Disney property in the world to reopen, and they opened it at 15%. Gavin Newsom said, well, no screaming on the rides. Now, you know, people scream on the rides involuntarily. You know, like, this isn't something we want to do. But he did all that. He destroyed so many people and businesses and dreams and lives and savings account and health. But people who had missed surgeries and all the rest of it. And they did worse than Florida. So that, now, if I had said to people in March 2020, if Florida does this and California does that, which one's going to do better? They would all have said California. Every last one of them. But the answer is Florida. So therefore, they owe us an apology that we're probably never going to get.
Oh, we're never going to get any of the apologies. Yeah. I am very much owed an apology from Sam Harris. I'm going to just go ahead and say that. Sam, if you're out there, it's totally fine to say sorry. But and this is interesting, though. Actually, I love speaking about Sam Harris during COVID because COVID broke Sam Harris in a lot of ways. And, you know, he was this big podcaster. But I think the most compelling element for me about the Sam Harris story is that he is a committed atheist. Right. He's traveling around the world debating people on atheism, why he believes that everyone should be an atheist, yada, 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 gets this podcast, Stanford grad. COVID hits and his mind goes crazy. Right. I mean, I tweeted something about, I don't even know what it said. And he like wrote back and was like, you're going to get people killed. And this is at the beginning of COVID. And at the time we had a mutual friend, Dave Rubin, and Dave Rubin just said to me, listen, I don't want you guys to fight. Get on the phone and speak. So I am in the car. I'll never forget this. And we get on the phone call and he sounds like he's in a bunker. Like he is like, you don't understand. Like, I spoke to the experts. Like, I went to Stanford. I know for a fact that my friend that is a doctor in Italy, there's going to be gurneys in the streets. You do not understand. Bodies are going to be piling up. Get home like with your family, like don't let your kids outside. And I just like respectfully listened because I knew I wasn't listening to what he said. You know, it was totally fine. And I said, okay, thank you for the information. I hung up the phone, turned to my husband, and was like, that man is disturbed. Got out of the car, shook hands at an event, literally spoke at an event in Texas that day. And I look at that in the retrospect, and I think, like I said, the atheism part is compelling because there actually is no such thing as an atheist. there are only people who have this vacuum for which another faith can be replaced, right? So if you believe that you don't believe in God, you believe in something. And Sam Harris that day declared what his God was. It was government. And that's exactly why when you look back on communist regimes, they want to make sure that people kill Christians. They want to make sure they're not practicing Christian faith, because I have a faith. I have a very strong faith. And so there's no way you're going to get me to bow the knee to government, because I understand that there is a higher power. Sam Harris doesn't, right? And so when you see people that gravitate towards these various pagan faiths, whether it's environmentalism, people crying in the streets, the planet's going to be over in 10 days, scientism tells us that the planet's going to be over in 10 years, every 10 years, and you wonder what's happening with them, I do see this spiritual void that is being filled with something incredibly toxic, and that toxic thing is government. Government seeks to be the god in people's lives.
You would like a book by Father Vincent Michelli called The Gods of Atheism.
Mm-hmm.
It's very much along these lines.
I'll remind you about it later.
So that's a good one.
Say the title again.
The Gods of Atheism.
The Gods of Atheism by
Father Vincent Michelli. And on the back cover, you can see him handing a copy to the Pope. So not the current Pope. This is another bad Pope, Paul VI. But we're not going to, unless you want to get into bad popes, we have other things to talk about. But
all right, parents, so we've all been there. One minute your kid is bouncing off the walls, an hour later they are sick. You feel helpless. They can turn your plans upside down. But you no longer have to rely on the medical gatekeeper process or bother your pediatrician on the weekends. Now you can have 6 critical medicines at your fingertips for issues like COVID, strep throat, ear infections with the Kids Emergency Kit, hand-selected by the wellness company's medical board. It even includes an EpiPen for those critical moments when your child's life could depend on it. The 40-page guidebook is like having an expert by your side, guiding you step-by-step, even when the doctor's office is closed. Ordering this kit is as simple as it gets, just a few clicks, and it's delivered right to your door. No more late-night pharmacy runs, no more scrambling when your child needs you most. So go to twc.health/Candace and grab your kid's emergency kit right now. And you can use code Candace to save $30 at checkout. That's twc.health/Candace and use code Candace to save $30 at checkout. Remember, these kits are limited and only available in the USA.
I actually want to tell a quick story, because I think I do want to acknowledge people who, you know, because there were a lot of us who did figure things out and did stand up, even if it meant they lost friendships, they were called names or whatever. And I've told this story a bunch of times, but I love it so much, and I've gotten to know the woman involved. In Ohio, a woman named Catherine Hewig had been following the data very closely, and she got an opportunity to speak before the Ohio State Legislature. And she brought in a chart, and it was a chart of like COVID deaths over time, but she didn't put the time stamps on the bottom. So you don't know what month is what. And she says, all right, if the things that you did to us, like the curfews, the lockdowns, the masks, this mandate, that mandate, if they did anything, you should be able to pick out on the chart exactly when they were implemented. I'd also like you to show me when's Thanksgiving, because we were all supposed to die at Thanksgiving. Can you find that on the chart? How about Christmas? How about the George Floyd riots? Can you pick any of these things out, and I'll wait? And of course, it's all completely random, and so none of them could. And so that inspired, I finally created a little site where, because you can't tell the difference. You compare states right next to each other. You compare county. Here in Nashville, Tennessee, I've got in my book 4 charts, and it's 4 different counties, and one of them limited restaurant capacity and bar capacity to 25%, and the others didn't. And I say, all right, here are the charts. Pick out the one that did that. And, of course, absolutely impossible to do that. So I came up with a full-blown quiz where on the screen it'll say, all right, which one of these do you think implemented a mask mandate and which one didn't? And there'll be places that are right next to each other, you know, so it's the same people. And you get everyone wrong. You know, you get them all wrong. So covidchartsquiz.com. I did that just for fun.
And you have another COVID website. What's the...
The big one is diaryofcovid.com.
Diaryofcovid.com.
And can I just tell you one little thing about that?
Yes, of course.
It has my favorite television moment from 4 years of madness. On that page, on diaryofcovid.com, there's a 2-minute video, and it's about my book, but it's really about what happened. And I said to the guy, because I can't make a promo video for that saved my life, so the guy who did it for me, I said, you have to include this clip from MSNBC. So MSNBC finally asked somebody a tough question about this. They had Andy Slavitt, who's a bum. He was one of the White House COVID advisors. I mean, that is not a credential that you want. And they said to him, you know, they're engaged in such heavy lockdown in California, and yet Florida seems to be doing about the same. So how do you explain that? And I thought, oh my gosh, MSNBC, of all possible places, just asked the question, capital Q, like what? What is he going to say? And there's that part of you that thinks, you know, he's not a dummy. I mean, he says and does dumb things, but he must have been smart to, you know, get a degree or something. So maybe he's got some brain power. So maybe he's got some answer that I just haven't thought of. Oh, it's so glorious, his answer. He has no answer. He says, you know, this is a virus that just keeps surprising us. You know, it's hard to know what it's going to do. But we do know what works. And then he lists all the things that obviously didn't work. And I thought, wow, so it really is the case that they have no answer. So then they asked, they got the gumption to ask Fauci a similar question. You know, Texas reopened and we're not seeing corpses on the side of the road. What do you think's going on there? His answer was, maybe they're doing things outdoors. So they brought the whole state outside, and that's the explanation. Mm. So I said, those clips need to be preserved forever. Like every future student of this needs to see these, that when you actually ask them, if you're thinking, well, they have some sophisticated response, they did not have a sophisticated response. They had no idea what was going on. And all I wanted them to say was, we're puzzled as to what's happening here. I just wanted some acknowledgement, some humility on the part of these people instead of the unbelievable, unremitting arrogance that we got for years.
I would say that it's worse than arrogance. I actually think that it's true evil. And there's no other way, I think, that you can look at it in the retrospect without appreciating this was not some uh-oh that the government made. You know, this took a lot of coordination. It took bullying. It took lying. It took manipulating the data, and like they've done for a very long time. It took, even if you speak to people that were in hospitals, changing the diagnostic definition. So even the way they were testing, it was to ensure that they were getting positives. It took also mandating that people get tested post-mortem. So if they got hit by a car, they were being counted as a COVID death. I mean, that is a true evil. And so you have to then say, what was the point of this, right? You had people, they allowed people to die, right? And I'm talking about people that got the vaccine, they wouldn't admit until later that it was causing myocarditis, but people were dying of heart attacks that were extremely young. And they were like, oh no, there were women who were early on saying it was impacting their menstruation. They gaslit them until they couldn't gaslight them anymore. So it was impacting fertility, because after menstruation is linked to fertility. And you look back at all of that, and it would be great if we could say, oh, they were just stupid. But they weren't just stupid. You know, they were intentional in telling these lies. And so what is your answer for why they, what was their actual aim in doing all of this?
Yeah, now that's the big one that we can only speculate on that because we don't have a smoking gun. When I had Harvey Risch was with the Yale School of Public Health, and he was a real hero through this, believe it or not. There were some people at top schools who were trying to tell some truths. And I had him on the Tom Wood Show, and I said, he just casually mentioned that Fauci had lied about something. I said, and I remember in 2020 when I would have even critics of Fauci on, they were very respectful. But as the years went on, the respect just went out the window. And I said, wait a minute, you're just casually saying that Fauci lied? And he just said, like, it was obvious. He said, oh, yeah, he's a sociopath. This was like the guy from the Yale School of Public Health. Oh, yeah, he's a sociopath. Like, we all know this. Like, in public, we all say huzzah, but in private, everybody knows what the deal is with him. And then the other thing, and then I'll try and come up with an answer to your question, but it's very hard. The other thing I want to say related to this, because you were saying about the way they lied and they were trying to manipulate us into doing things. When they were trying to push the shots on kids, right around that time, we got a report, coincidentally, saying that COVID is a top five killer of children. Now, right around that time. Now, anybody even remotely following this knows COVID was never a top five killer of children. And yet all the people, the Surgeon General repeated this. Everybody repeated this. Professors at Harvard were repeating this. It was a lay woman in Georgia, Kelly Cronert, who simply can read data. She can read data, who wrote a report and sent it out to the world, because at least we have the internet, so she sent it out to the world, and they had to retract it. She embarrassed them. She doesn't have these credentials. She didn't go to a fancy university, but not for medicine. Like, they were going to try to get away with that, and there's no way they could have thought that was true, right? That's impossible for you to follow COVID, not know the thousandfold age gradient difference between mortality for old and young. You had to know that. Top five killer of children, and it was a lay woman who said, you people are all lying to us. And it makes me wonder, back in the days when we had only three channels, I don't know if you were around then, but I was. We had three channels. What were they getting away with then, when there was no Kelly Cronert to come along and say, here's where you're wrong? So what were they trying to do here? I mean, Harvey Risch, again, this is a guy who's as mainstream as you can ask for, suggested that they did not have an objection, he believes, to having people die unnecessarily in order to make the vaccine seem more urgently necessary. That they were ridiculing the idea of outpatient treatments so that the situation would seem more dire, so that everybody would flock to the vaccine. That's what he thinks happened. That's wild that somebody would make an accusation like that in his position.
Well, we have the right to ask questions. And I think one of the things that naturally leads you to, when you recognize that they told even one big lie, right? So even if you begin with vaccines and you're like, I truly accept that they lied on a mass scale about this, then of course your brain goes, well, they're capable of lying on a mass scale and getting away with it, right? And getting and making people sick and harming people with their lies and never having to apologize. And that instantly brings you to history, where you go, how long have they been lying? Because I'm going to guess they didn't just start with COVID. And it becomes very difficult to accept that they're lying to us presently, and they weren't lying to us historically, right? So we get into this sort of official narrative of American history. You know, recently, Tucker Carlson was everybody in the mainstream media is always attacking him because he just has conversations with people.
Yeah.
And he had on a historian who did not accept the textbook narrative regarding World War II. And the way the media reacted was precious, to say the least.
It was like the return of Godzilla.
Precious. What did you think about that?
Well, I had Daryl Cooper on the Tom Woods Show, and we talked it through. And one of the things he said is, you know, there's a whole literature out there on the library shelves collecting dust, making exactly the arguments I did. But since nobody knows anything except the mainstream narrative, nobody's even aware of these books. You know, no one's aware of A.J.P. Taylor, or more recently, I forget how many, maybe it was 10, 15 years ago, Pat Buchanan had a book, Churchill, Hitler, and the, quote, unnecessary war, which was Churchill's words. I'm just saying what they said. Like, there's been another way of thinking about what actually went on that's maybe somewhat less cartoonish, but
it is cartoonish. The way we learn history is very cartoonish. Good guy, bad guy, no in between.
That's why one of my
good guy always wins.
One of my favorite Norm Macdonald jokes is, says here in this history book that the good guys won every single war. I mean, what are the odds? You know? So there is a bit of that. But I would say between World War II, and I know you're not supposed to, I get that you're not supposed to say these things. I know, but we specialize in this. Between that and the so-called Civil War, these are like the two creation myths of the modern American regime. And so that's why you have to accept the cartoon version, because these things lead you to Hillary Clinton. I mean, the kind of U.S. we have today, where states have very little leeway, very few rights, localities have very few rights, things like, there's a possibility that the Justice Department could tell your school what its policy toward transgender athletes is. That has nothing to do with the Constitution, nothing to do with the original America at all that was based on local self-government. That's the world that was ushered in by forcing the U.S. into one unbreakable union in that way, is that the states have zero leverage at this point. And what do you think is going to happen? And the U.S. government is going to have a monopoly on interpreting the Constitution. Well, they're going to interpret it in its own, you know, in their own favor. And I know these are hard teachings to hear. Somebody hears me saying this and they think, Woods, I can follow you so far, but I can't go there. I get that. And you know what? I was in exactly the same position. I can accept this, this, and this, but not that. But you know what? It turns out that in case after case, that thing is true too.
Right. I heard actually Tucker speaking about that with Charlie Kirk, and they described it as founding myths, right? Like, and you need a founding myth to get people to rally around and to believe in their identity. And for the UK, it's like Winston Churchill is like one of the founding myths, you know?
Yeah.
And you cannot say anything bad about Winston Churchill. And just when you process that, and again, just thinking about your experience with human beings, doesn't that just flag you as weird immediately, that there's just nothing bad ever said about him and he's such a hero, and yet we know he locked arms with Stalin? It's like there's just something, there has to be more to the narrative here. year. And for me, one of the things that I think really kind of woke me up to that was actually a priest who shared a documentary, the BBC documentary, and I got into tons of trouble for sharing it. I said everybody should watch it, and many millions of people did when I did, entitled The Savage Peace. Which
oh, just, people need to know about that.
It's insane.
Yeah.
No American even knew about this. We're just like allowing German-speaking people. They weren't even German civilians, ever voted for Hitler, nothing. Lined up in the street, shot, their children, their legs being run over sadistically. I mean, put the pyramids, putting them in pyramids, putting them into concentration camps post-war. The Allies allowed this to take place. And so what it does is it just jolts you into reality. For me, when I watched it, I went, I know nothing about World War II. Clearly, I know nothing other than what they wanted me to know in a classroom, because everything we learn about this is that we were doing this because we had to end this genocide. We were doing this because concentration camps are wrong. And now I'm watching this documentary that's showing me that the Allies allowed these concentrations to take place during peacetime following the war. So you just go, okay, where do I begin? You know, where do I begin? How do I learn everything so that I can form an idea about what happened during these world wars?
And you notice they can't even just say something as simple as it's morally ambiguous because there were terrible, terrible crimes committed on the Allied side. And then they could say, but unfortunately, being utilitarian, we had to do that because, you know, at least that would, I could at least understand
the argument. Yeah, feel better. Yeah.
Like, at least I see where you're coming from. But it's not reasonable what they're asking us to believe.
Mm-mm, they're just like, no, nope, we never did anything wrong. Everything was absolutely necessary. Dresden was necessary. Dropping a bomb, everything was necessary. It was all about ending the war. And you grow up and you realize, yeah, I don't know how I ever accepted these narratives. And you then, I think, have a different perspective, a much more cautious perspective when they try to lead us into the next war. And we're kind of in that circumstance right now where we're sensing there's a lot of tension in the Middle East. And it's just recently announced that they are going to put Americans in the Middle East. And I think a lot of Americans feel depressed by that because we're just going, when are we allowed to just be isolationist, right? When are we allowed to focus on what's happening here in America? When are we allowed to worry about, you know, gas prices and groceries and not have the media again trying to condition us to believe that we need to spread democracy somewhere overseas and fund somewhere overseas into perpetuity?
Yeah. And you know, too, and I couldn't agree more with that, but you know, too, that the version of events that we're getting about Ukraine, which is also a cartoon. I mean, really, you can't really blame Kamala Harris for saying Russia is a big country and it's next to a small country and it invaded the small country and that's bad. You know, she's just repeating what they say on CNN. Like, I mean, I don't really hold that against her. But that's, again, that's what's going to be in your kid's textbook in 20 years is going to be that version. And I've noticed that. I think this has kind of happened, especially over the past 10 years. Even the headlines of an article are propaganda these days. Even the headline already has you biased as you start reading the article.
Mm-hmm.
And again, well, what happens to these headlines over time? These headlines and these articles become what's inside the covers of your history book. So it makes you wonder what the heck can I trust? And not to mention, you talked about psychology. About 10 years ago, the field endured something called the replication crisis, where it turned out that a huge number of quote-unquote peer-reviewed studies could not be replicated by other researchers. They were all bogus. And so I wrote about this, and I had scholars from other disciplines saying, it's not just psychology, it's my field too, and it's that field, and it's that field. The universities are a mess, and yet I think the other thing that we have a superstitious reverence for, apart from doctors, is the college professor, because he has this giant brain filled with facts, and we better sit at his feet. But it is a mess. It's a good thing no one's paying attention, or they would be embarrassed if they were capable of embarrassment.
Yeah, sort of going back to what the Thomas Sowell referencing, the confidence of the American kids who were like at the bottom of the mathematical capabilities compared to the Korean kids who didn't have any confidence but were at the top. It's really interesting.
I'd like them to
because,
have both, right?
Yeah, well, it's interesting because we've actually, truthfully, never in the history of America ever given out more degrees and have never... And yet, paradoxically, have never produced dumber kids. And I'm talking about, like literally, the kids are dumber than they've ever been. Matt Walsh, my former colleague, did this thing where he read to his audience a letter written by a Civil War soldier who had no formal education.
Oh.
It's like poetry.
Yeah, I'm
right?
sure.
And the
yeah.
average kid today cannot do that. So that's why I say we're actually in the dark ages. All they're doing is inflating people's egos and making them dumber and dumber and dumber. And I think we have this very small window of opportunity to wake up to that and to respond to it. And it's why I am now an advocate for homeschooling. I believe very much like where you send your kid to school really matters, and that they will learn far more in your household than they can now in this social setting where all they're doing is telling them to feel and how do you feel today and confusing them. Now there's, you know, 39,000 genders. And if you feel like a horse, you are a horse. We are very much headed to the I would say C.S. Lewis, ape in trousers scenario. The Fed has dropped interest rates, so you need to call my friends at American Financing today. With mortgage rates in the fours, now is the perfect time to consolidate debt and reduce your monthly expenses. A lot of hardworking Americans have been forced to use credit cards because of the ridiculous prices for groceries, power, and even childcare. That debt is expensive with credit card rates being so high, but with mortgage rates dropping, now is the time to wipe that debt out. American Financing is helping homeowners just like you save over $800 a month on average. They are even closing some in as fast as 10 days. And if you start today, you may delay two mortgage payments. There are no upfront fees to find out how much that you could be saving. So call American Financing today at 800-795-1210. That's 800-795-1210. Or you can visit AmericanFinancing.net/Owens. That's AmericanFinancing.net/Owens.
Well, I helped. This was about 12 or so years ago, but I helped Ron Paul create, he has his own homeschool program, ronpaulhomeschool.com. And I created the Western Civ courses for that.
Oh, wow.
And also the government course, which the government course is not like a government course you would normally get, I promise you. But yeah, this is his program has 2 years of Western Civ. Normally it's one, but I teach 2 years worth of Western Civ from the ancient Hebrews all the way up through the end of the 20th century. And it's going to give your students an opportunity to get, shall we say, the other side of the story.
That's what I wanted to do.
Because they'll get the mainstream version everywhere they turn the rest of their lives.
Yeah, it's so funny. That's exactly what I was speaking with my husband about doing next year, like wanting to do these sort of like 10 course packages, like sitting down and doing like history with Dave Smith, like history with Tom Woods, and just putting it up on a website so that parents can, their kids can just go through that very quickly at a way lower price point. I mean, imagining that they're spending $100,000 to get a degree in gender studies is robbery. I mean, this is a financial crime that is taking place. You're making them ill-equipped to go in and to ever be able to create in their lives, to ever be able to take care of themselves, and simultaneously charging them a fortune. And that needs to be disrupted. So I'm very pleased to hear because I didn't know that you had done this already.
Oh, it's a great program. So and by the way, I have the mainstream credentials. I have a PhD from Columbia. I have a degree from Harvard.
But he's an expert. Trust him.
I know. He's like, I'm embarrassed to tell people that. Like, I saved that to the end to even mention. Yeah. But the thing is, the one thing those things did do for me is they made it harder, a little bit harder, for the other side to dismiss me.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, I do appreciate that. Like when Jay Bhattacharya at Stanford says there's something wrong with locking people down, it's hard to dismiss him as a crank. He's Jay Bhattacharya from Stanford University, you know, so I'm going to use these credentials as much as I can until they're, you know, like I want them to seriously regret ever admitting me, you know.
Well, that's Thomas Sowell. He said, I went to Harvard so that I never had to deal with people telling me that they went to Harvard.
Yeah, exactly.
It's like, now we can just get to the conversation.
I know, we have
the same credentials. Now we can just have a conversation and not listen to you tell me that because you went to Harvard.
Well, you know,
I love that he says that. It's brilliant.
This year would have been my blankety blank reunion at Harvard, and I didn't go, even though I have some friends from there, but I can see them whenever I want. Because I know it's just going to be the same opinions. You know, I know where they all stand on Ukraine. I know where they all stand on gender theory. Ukraine and gender theory have nothing to do with each other. And yet I can predict exactly what their opinions are. What a bore. But yet I do go to my high school reunion because there are enough ordinary people who can process information and say, I'm not sure I go along with this. You know, like they actually have a variety of opinions. But my gosh, could you imagine how absolutely intolerable hanging around a Harvard reunion would be?
Gosh.
Oh, forget it.
Guantanamo Bay for me. Guantanamo Bay. Take me out.
Yeah.
You know, I think one of the things that I have realized is the most important is instilling confidence in your kids. That's really what the establishment hates, is the confidence, the audacity to be yourself, the audacity to think, to ask questions. Like they get sent in a tizzy if I ever say, I'm going to think about this idea. Like, what? How dare you? This is already established. And so it's so important to
recognize that if you're sending your kids through the public education system, you're sending them through an indoctrination camp that seeks to make them conform to the crowd and to not have the courage and the audacity of their own ideas, not believe in themselves to ask a simple question that goes against the grain. And I think that a lot of parents are sensing that and feeling that. And I know we're both Catholics, so we're hopeful. We know in the end that we win. And so what would you recommend to the parents that are watching the show and to the students that are in school and realizing that what we're saying, and true, we got a lot of young students who watch the show and they're like, yeah, we're learning absolutely nothing, you know, leaving them with, I guess, a message of hope or something that they should be doing right now.
Okay, well, there are some good things about being alive in 2024. And one of them is the technology. Now, the technology has turned out to be a double-edged sword, because I think, although it's true that because of the internet, we were able to get dissident voices out during COVID, I don't know if they could have gotten away with COVID if they hadn't had this kind of everybody being connected. And because I think it encouraged a kind of tribalism that I see what everybody else is doing, so I better do that. Or I'm hearing what every expert is saying, so I better do that. So it's been a double-edged sword, but it also means there are resources out there, because basically almost anybody can have a website. You know, almost anybody, basically anybody can have a podcast. And so there are resources out there. So one resource I would give is, I mean, yeah, the Ron Paul homeschool program you have to pay for. But I actually give away my U.S. history courses for nothing. So woodshistory.com, it costs you nothing. And these take you from the colonial period up through the end of the 20th century. And it's going to be interesting. It's going to be a dissident perspective, but there's nothing we made up. This is all true. And it's what people need to know. Like, how, you know, it's, I know we say we have to learn history so we don't repeat it. And that seems like a cliche, but the thing is, if people are constantly telling us, like in 2008, well, the government has to spend a lot more money because you know what happened after the Great Depression, you know, what we spent a lot more money and that got us out of it. Well, if you don't know if that's true or not, how do you know if we should do that today? You know, or if they say, oh, because the Constitution says the president is the commander in chief, he can send troops anywhere he wants to without the consent of Congress. It is true the Constitution says that, but is that what that means? Is there anything else in the Constitution about that? If you don't know U.S. history, how do you evaluate these claims that the lizard people are making today? Now, I borrowed that term from David Icke. I don't know that I subscribe to it entirely. But what seems more descriptive when you're referring to Hillary Clinton, the lizard person?
He's just got that part right. She's definitely a reptile. Common sense.
Yeah, like if she started tearing her skin off and it was scales under there. Yeah, I would say, you know, it makes sense. It adds up.
That is so true. And again, just so that people have the website, and where can they also pick up a Diary of a Psychosis? The website is
diaryofcovid.com. They can get it at any site in the world. They can also get it at diaryofcovid.com.
Okay. And where can people follow you?
Best thing to do is go to woodshistory.com and get those courses, and then I'll stay in touch with you.
Tom Woods, thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you, Candace.